Hail, cheaters, and welcome to another episode of the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. I'm Brandon, and I'm joined by Josh. Hello.
Hey, Brandon, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Another week of FPL, another week of following Champions League tickers while sitting in my cubicle at work. And, you know, hoping that Kevin De Bruyne doesn't tear his ACL. But he didn't even start today, which was interesting.
Yeah, did he even get in? Did he play? Did.
He played 15 minutes. Okay. And I was actually really glad to see that he didn't start, because watching De Bruyne the last 2 weeks in the Premiership, he clearly looked really fatigued. I mean, he's not helped by the fact that all those other creative midfielders are injured at the moment.
Right.
But he really needed a rest.
He was asking, they were asking him to shoulder a pretty massive burden on that team, especially with Silva still out.
Yeah. And, I mean, so many people were burned by the captaincy over the weekend. Everyone was expecting City to just lay waste to Norwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when De Bruyne got that early yellow card, were you just thinking it just wasn't going to be your day? Like, there was something about the way he got that yellow card. It was just like tired, you know. Like,
yeah, there were. We'll certainly get to it as we talk more about the events of the weekend. But there were a lot of red flags raised for me, at least. I know for a number of other people too. But do you? So, how closely do you pay attention to these Champions League games midweek, with your FPL team in mind?
Well, I certainly pay attention. With my FPL team in mind, I mean, a little bit, I guess. I mean, I'm such a addict that I pay attention to all the games. I mean, I was even paying attention to the Borussia Mönchengladbach Juventus game today.
Sure. Hey,
I'm not
usually
watching these games. It was a draw. Okay. But Fabian Johnson scored, the U.S. men's national team player.
Fabian. Awesome. Love to hear that. So as far as players I had playing today, I had Joe Hart in goal. De Bruyne on the bench. I have nobody for Manchester United right now.
Yeah.
But God, they were only able to eke out a 1-0 win against CSKA Moscow.
Yeah, I read the game recap in the Guardian. It sounds like there was almost an open revolt in the stadium. I mean, they're so frustrated with the tactics. I mean, you know, I get last year, you know, the idea of, you know, really, like, you know, just scraping out 1-0 draws, and that's something that maybe they had to do in order to get back into the Champions League. But I mean, at this point, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars, or, you know, pounds to refurbish that team, and, you know, like Ander Herrera can't consistently make the lineup, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Juan Mata, another extremely creative player, is often getting pulled at halftime.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, I mean, from a fantasy point of view, it makes them a very obvious candidate for bringing in some defenders, but the attackers, it's just kind of a mess right now.
I'm not sure if I know exactly what this term means, but I think I'm using it correctly to refer to the United team as basic. Does that sound right?
Sort of, yeah. Like basic, like dad, like boring dad style. Is that
kind of? Yeah, I think that's what it means.
Well, the biggest problem is Wayne Rooney.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
who scored today, though?
Yeah, who did score today? It was actually kind of a cool goal. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't see it.
Cross-field pass from Carrick to what's the guy who's been playing more and more? I'm forgetting his name now. He comes in as a sub.
Lingard?
Yeah, Lingard. It basically, a crossfield pass, and then Wayne Rooney scored a headed goal from Lingard. And, so, I mean, you know, but honestly, I feel like he scored a few goals in the Champions League already this year. And, you know, we also saw the other guy in Man United. Man, I'm really like, I don't have my words.
Yeah, Memphis Depay. He had a great week, and then that was the week that I brought him back into my team after shedding him in the wild card.
Yeah, I think Memphis has 3 goals, actually, in the Champions League this season. So I'm not sure this Champions League is the most, it feels like a different universe than the actual Premier League sometimes.
Yeah, very much like Arsenal going out in the cup in such style.
Mm-hmm. I guess the counterexample would be Harry Kane last year. Obviously, not in the Champions League and the Europa League, but that guy was scoring like 2 or 3 goals every game.
Yeah,
it was like this crazy. He was on this insane run, and I think it was right around this time last season when they played Aston Villa that he finally came in, scored that late deflected goal, and then it was just like it was Harry Kane time.
Well, all this Champions League chatter is just to distract us from the kind of miserable week that I think both of us had.
For different reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
It was our benches, really. It was the benches that cost both of us.
Yeah, definitely. I ended up with 57 points, which isn't miserable, but for the fact that I left Mahrez on the bench in favor of Andre Ayew.
Yeah. Yeah, and I ended up with 55 points, which honestly I felt pretty miserable about for lots of reasons.
I had predicted that you would finish above the average on the week, but it was the Harry Kane goal that I think pushed you below what is now the 56 point average on the
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I mean it's just symptomatic of how the season's going. I mean the biggest issue for me was leaving Butland on the bench and starting Schmeichel.
Okay, I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but mm-hmm. talk us through that decision. So you doubled up with Wes Morgan and Schmeichel in the back for Leicester.
Yeah, my defender options were pretty weak to begin with this week. I don't know. I mean, the part of it was just that you know, 2 weeks ago Newcastle looked fantastic at home, scored either 5 or 6 goals against Newcastle. Stoke looked terrible last week without Jeff Cameron. Leicester had kept a clean sheet the week before, and
had a pizza party.
Yeah, and we've often seen that clean sheets are kind of
they come in bunches.
Like, yeah, they seem to come in bunches. You know, like you'll see like a team get like 3 out of 4 clean sheets. You know,
yeah.
So and it felt like a bit of a differential. I just didn't think a lot of people would be camping in him.
Right.
So obviously it worked out basically as poorly as it possibly could.
Yeah. 11 points.
Was it 10 points? Yeah, and honestly, all it would have taken was, you know, for him not to have saved a couple of those balls, and we're talking about a complete wash. You know, obviously it didn't work out that way. It wasn't like it was a decision made rashly. I actually had a logic. I felt like it was the right decision. It wasn't just that I was pursuing a differential.
Yeah.
But it just looks so bad in hindsight. I mean, I guess the AU Mahrez thing is kind of the same thing.
Oh yeah. I don't know why. I just had this suspicion, and I had read this quote from IU earlier in the week where he said, "I'm not doing well enough. I need to improve." And mm-hmm. he's been a very consistent attacking player, as much as Swansea has been consistent in attacking. Yeah. And Swansea against Arsenal, like over the years, you tend to see Swansea scoring goals against Arsenal.
Yeah, that's true. Last year there was the Jonjo Shelvey goal. I think didn't they win 1-0 at the Emirates?
Your memory is far better than mine.
Yeah, late Jonjo Shelvey goal, if I recall.
Man, all things Shelvey, I do love them. I also sort of glommed on to that groupthink of Leicester is about to peter out. This train is slowing down.
And it of is course, not, though.
They came out, and I mean, we'll talk about this is going to be one of our featured fixtures when we review Game Week 10. But they are just this crazy Harlem Globetrotters-esque team.
Yeah, it's really
no regard for organization or defense. It's just all guts and glory.
And snatching all these points. What do they have? I think they have 10 points on the season from a position of being down a goal or more.
Yeah.
And they have 22 points on this on the season. So, you know, if they actually had 12 points, they'd be near relegation right now.
Yeah.
They'd be battling with Chelsea for the final relegation spot. But yeah, as it is, they're in third place, and so Mahrez looked fantastic. Kind of like he looked exactly like he did, you know, the first 3-4 weeks of the season.
I love that those two goals were effectively the exact same, but just opposite sides of the field.
Yeah, I know it was. Yeah,
it seemed to be the most Hail Mary crosses you can imagine.
Against a West Brom team that had been like impossible to breach their defense. So yeah, very strange.
Oh, this West Brom.
And then another Vardy goal, which I couldn't believe.
yeah, and you tried to avoid that bandwagon.
I know. I'm starting to feel like Luis Suarez and Yaya Toure a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Where I stubbornly, I think I brought in Suarez fairly early, but Yaya Toure, I didn't bring in the whole season. I mean, maybe I brought him in like a week to go or something.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I don't want to have Toure. And then like you get, you know, 10 weeks in the season, you're like, well, now I can't have him because, you know, there's no differential and I need to make up ground. And you're like, well, surely Yaya Toure is not going to score 20 goals in a season. And then Yaya Toure scores 20 goals in a season. I mean, at this point, Jamie Vardy like is a favorite for the Golden Boot. It's crazy. I mean, he's certainly in the lead right now.
Yeah. Yeah. These weeks are tough, particularly when it comes down to one bench player that separates you from having the average week versus a good week. And now I'm seeing a lot of red arrows. You know, I actually have one green arrow, thank you, soccercaptains.com.
I think it's all red for me. I couldn't even look, to be honest. I mentioned this to you. I think, I don't know if I said it in person or over G-Chat. But I reached that point. I reached a point you never want to get to in your fantasy season, which is when you're actually openly complaining to your wife about your fantasy team.
Yeah.
We were going for a walk on Saturday afternoon after the games were over, and I couldn't stop. It was like I just had to get it out.
Does she smile and nod?
She was very sympathetic, like weirdly sympathetic. She's like, you gotta. I think part of it, it's just like weekend. I mean, these terrible weeks, and then I have to go on this podcast and talk about it every week, and it's like I've got to wallow in it. And she's like, no, you got to use it. It's the narrative. It's like the comeback from
you're like the Tony Soprano of the FPL, and you come here, you unload all this stuff in a therapy session.
That's true. I go look at the ducks in the lake or whatever. And
yeah, that's your bird watching. Yeah, my wife wouldn't tolerate her for a second. If I went into a tirade, she would just tell me to shut up. And there's a lovely woman.
No one cares about your fantasy team. This is always rule one.
The last thing I'll say is it's hard for me to complain about game week 10 though, when you have a week where you get a goal from all three of your strikers.
Yeah, it could have been worse. I mean, part of it is just the standard that we're playing, you know, like the standard in the Hail Cheaters League, for example, is really high.
Yes.
And you know that if you have a week around average, you know, anywhere between, like this week, anywhere between 50 and 60, even a few points above average is very average is below average, I should say, in the Hail Cheaters League. So, you know, I knew I was going to drop in that league. And actually, it's sort of a question/comment that someone asked on Twitter that I'll just throw in here real quick. And they were asking...
Who asked the question, by the way?
Yeah, let me scroll down here. Sorry, Bree. Brendan, I think it's Brendan O'Flaherty, O'Flaherty B on Twitter, says his burning question is, why am I dropping like a proverbial stone week on week in the Hail Cheaters League? Okay, two reasons. One, it is a very competitive league because the kind of person who's listening to a Fantasy Premier League podcast is probably taking the game fairly seriously. And I think the main reason, though, the obvious one, is just that because we started the league a little, like, with the season had actually started when we started the Hail Cheaters League. Mm-hmm. So we're adding 15 to 20 people at least every week, it seems like.
Yeah, right. So it's
the last international break, I think we added 50 people. So it's starting to stabilize. I think we only have one new person coming in this week. I think that we won't see quite as much movement, you know, or at least it'll be more up and down movement as opposed to just down every single week.
So what we're telling you, Brendan, is it's nothing you're doing wrong. It's just that you're a part of a growing community.
A growing community of people who are dropping like a stone every week.
This is what they also tell people who check into old folks' homes as well, I think.
I don't even know if I dropped in the Hail Cheaters League. I think I'm so low.
You're on the last page, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm the last pager right now.
Well, speaking of Hail Cheaters, do you want to give us the rundown real quick of where we are in the standings?
Who's up top? Let's do it. All right, so the Hail Cheaters Mini League, we've got a fairly similar – let's see here. We've got a fairly similar five. The top two have remained unchanged. That's IX Trees Down, Colin Bothwell, and I Live in a Boom Boom. They are in first and second still. They had very respectable scores in the mid-60s, 65 and 68. And then Mark Johnson's Stone Cold Stunners up to third.
Way to be, Mark.
Mark's been up there before, you know, so he's not – He's not too impressed with himself, I'm sure.
Well, shout out to Mark. I always see him on the Transfer Hub message board on Facebook, and he's always got some intelligent things to say.
Totally. Colin's the same way.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got Take a Load Off Mane, which is a pretty good team name.
Loving it, yeah.
And that's Sean Comiskey. He has 71 points, and he's up to fourth. And then a team whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
Kaiser Berslotten. You didn't take German in high school, did you?
I did not. Should I know that word?
I didn't take German either, but I've watched Inglourious Bastards enough time to sort of fake Kaiser Berslotten.
Okay, all right. That's Leith Kassab, and Leith is into fifth place with 75 points. Well, very respectable.
Yeah, but he doesn't get anywhere close to our... We actually caught some flack last week for not calling out who got the high score on the week. So this week, honor goes to Cantona, Mr. Tom White. Tom White. With 91 points.
Yeah, 91 points. That is fantastic.
Now, do you know how Tom actually got to 91 points?
Yeah, I think I did. Did he play his...
he played his bench boost. And guess who he had on his bench, Josh?
He had Maras on his bench. Oh, Jack Butland. you know, we're actually going to get to another bench boost later because we're doing a Rate My Team later. We're doing Bobby Gasol's team, Klopp Republic, and he also played his bench boost.
See, you're sitting on your bench boost over there waiting for a double game week. And,
I know. I'm going to wait too long, and then the double game week's going to come, and I'm going to get two blanks.
Well, I mean, speaking of, what I wouldn't have given for my all-out attack chip in game week 10, then I wouldn't have had to have struggled with, do I bench IU or do I bench Mahrez? I mean, I've got to get rid of one of these two guys, because every week, I have to nail on Mahrez.
I can't use my all-out attack until I get rid of Ashley Westwood, because that guy is a guarantee. Like, I'm not getting any more than 2 points from him. So what's the point? I mean, 1 or 2 points, versus what could be very valuable chip down the road. It's just not worth it.
Westwood going off in that Spurs game was Westwood basically saying to all these FPL managers, enough already. Get me out of your team. It's not worth it.
Yeah. And another Twitter question. Tom Butcher actually asked what our thoughts were on Dele Alli and how his stats are racking up. And I bring this up because I think Ali is possibly the best candidate to replace Ashley Westwood. If you're looking for a Westwood replacement, as some always owned by everybody, I think it's because we all played our many of us wildcarded kind of early this year, and Westwood seemed like a good option.
He was a 4.5 guy getting 90 minutes.
Down to 4.4, but a lot of people still have some money on their bench. So Dele Alli is at 4.9 million. Has been playing 90 minutes the last 6 weeks. He's played, I guess he was taken off the 88th in game week 11, but he's played almost every minute. And even then, he was sort of slowly building his minutes up as the season went on. So consistent starter. Already has 2 goals and 2 assists on the season. And 1 goal and 2 assists in the last 4 games. And for a fifth mid, those are perfectly respectable returns for a fifth midfielder. If you can occasionally get a goal, occasionally get an assist, he picked up 3, but he's already in 4 bonus points in the season, picked up 3 at home to Aston Villa. So I think that would be I think he's a fantastic option.
I could say as an owner of Nabil Bentaleb last season, Dele Alli is a marked improvement over Bentaleb, who, Bentaleb started to make more and more appearances for me later in the season, particularly when Spurs had a double game week. And
did it ever work out?
No, he just came excruciatingly close to getting assists or goals, but ultimately would just give the ball away.
He had that thing. There's some. Who was the guy who? I think he's also on Spurs. Loves to. Andros Townsend. He's got that Andros Townsend quality where he's like he has a hard time not finding a shot he doesn't like.
That's
a double negative, but every time he gets the ball anywhere in the pitch, he's looking for the goal. And I feel like you get a lot of Bentaleb shots that are like 30, 40 feet above the crossbar.
Okay, so do we have any other good questions from the community out there? By the way, if you still want to join the mini league, it's never too late. If you go to our Twitter, @HailCheaters, the league code is up there, and that's where we're getting a lot of these questions from the community from.
Yep. All right, so, you want to go through a few questions here, Brad?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm going to start from the bottom.
We basically sent out this tweet an hour before we recorded the podcast, so sorry if we missed some of your burning questions.
Yeah. FBL Junior asks, apart from Smalling and David De Gea, who is the best United defender? It's an interesting question.
It's not interesting. It's an impossible question.
It's a tough question to answer because I after talking Phil Jones up in the last podcast, he didn't even start this weekend.
Yeah, guess what? Phil Jones got injured.
Is he injured? There's no mark or anything. He just didn't start. So I thought that was a pretty safe pick because he does – last year certainly he played whenever he was healthy had played 2 weeks in a row picked up 3 bonus points last weekend, which doesn't necessarily mean anything from a gameplay point of view. We all know that reality and fantasy don't always mix together. But certainly it seems like he wasn't making a lot of mistakes, right?
Right. Yeah, no. I think he looked pretty solid.
I think Marcus Rojo, I guess, would be the if you didn't want if you could afford Smalling, Rojo would be the player to bring in because you know, he's pretty much stepped into that Luke Shaw spot.
Yeah, I agree. And Rojo does offer a lot going forward. He's generally very active in the attack.
Picked up 3 bonus points away to Crystal Palace.
Rojo also seems less concerned about getting a cross in. I think he enjoys more cutting inside and you know delivering some more successful balls to feet. That's my armchair assessment of Rojo's attacking play.
I like that. Balls to feet.
Balls to feet.
Yeah. Yeah. He picked up 3 bonus points.
It's a new CrossFit exercise.
And even saying a yellow card picked up the bonus points. And I feel like there's something about the way the bonus points are calculated. If you get 1 yellow card, it's like, somehow you lose way more points than you should.
Yeah.
It's like if often if a defender gets a yellow card, it's like they drop so like if you're tracking on a new PLA, the bonus point system, they're like 10 points behind everybody else.
Oh, and thanks for bringing up a new PLA. We actually recommended this site for live bonus point calculating last week, and I think somebody contacted us through the website and wasn't able to find the URL. What the trick is, you have to go to anewpla.net/FPL, and that's how you find it.
Right. And then that'll get you there, and then you can see everything from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that
There's for me, just to get back to the United question, there's just too much uncertainty and too much rotation happening in that United defense.
Yeah. Outside of Chris Smalling, who I think is, has he missed a game? No, he hasn't missed a game yet this season.
Yeah, he's just so expensive. I would love to get De Gea in my team. Of course, I love an expensive goalkeeper, having Joe Hart right now. Mm-hmm. But of all the people, Smalling is a good pick, but of all those defenders, De Gea seems like the best bet.
Yeah, it's very tempting. You know, 4 clean sheets in 5. And we talked a lot on the last podcast, so we won't go into it too much this week. But with the fixtures coming up for Man United, it's very tempting to bring in one defender. And it's a team you actually just to go to another question quickly because it ties in with this. Tucker, Tuck_9, asks defensive strategies, rotation versus doubling up. And the way I sort of think about this question is, most people do rotate. So, is there something to be said for doubling up? How often do you double up? Are you a double up, fantasy player in general?
That sounds like a very sexy question. Are you a double up kind of guy?
you double up, man, Brandon?
I mean, last season you saw so many people shoot up the tables with doubling up on Southampton, and
that was
and,
that was me. I doubled up I think I grabbed 2 Southampton defenders in game week 3 or 4, whenever their like insane run started, and just held them for the first 15 weeks or so.
I got to tell you, I'm totally out to lunch when it comes to defense this season. I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, I think we're all prone to rotation because defense generally comes last in the budget, and then you end up with a bunch of 4.5 and 5.0 guys from mid to lower mid-table teams.
Yeah.
And you're just chasing the fixtures at that point. And the clean sheets have been so difficult to predict.
Okay, here is my, like, split the baby, like, analysis of this. It's a lot easier to double up when the double up doesn't require you to, like, in most seasons, we have not seen it yet this season. Perhaps we won't see it at all this season. There is at least one team that has 2 defenders, like, that's you know, a relegation level team or a team that's in the bottom half of the table that has fairly inexpensive defenders that you can then bring in and double up on. So, the last maybe 10 weeks of last season, we saw that with Leicester, where that was their strategy. It was just, tighten it up, like 11 men all fighting together. And then they'd like nick a goal usually from Mahrez late in the game or Jamie Vardy. And that's so different from this year. Really, we shouldn't have been as surprised by Mahrez and Vardy as we were this year, right? I mean, looking back on how they avoided relegation last year,
it's true. Yeah, they're sort of started like they finished.
Yeah. So if you
but speaking of Leicester, doubling up is costing you right now because you having Schmeichel and Wes Morgan in the back and Mahrez in the midfield, you're not able to get Vardy in.
Yeah, I think this season is a season, at least for me, where I have relied too much on my experience in the league, and I need to. I don't mean my wealth of experience as much as just my knowledge of how players have performed historically has been informing my decision making, and so I've held onto people far longer than I should because typically a player will revert to form at some point, and we haven't really seen that this season. The players who have been bad have stayed bad, and the players who have started the season strongly have continued to play well. And so you really just want to grab all the players who are playing well right now because it doesn't seem to end, right? Like,
yeah.
Jamie Vardy is apparently going to score every week this season. And yeah. That's just, we just all have to accept this.
Yeah.
Being slightly facetious, but you know, it is like, it does seem like it's, well, anyway, just to get back to the defensive question, the problem is you don't necessarily want to double up on Man City or Man United defenders in a typical season because you want to have two of their attacking players.
Right, yeah.
You know, uh-huh. So you want to have Aguero and you want to have Silva and maybe you want to have a defender. I mean, it's, you know, for the top teams, it's not uncommon to have three players from that team.
Yeah.
Sometimes even two midfielders and an attacker if they're that good.
You know, you're just really crystallizing some logic here for me that I've never really thought of. Like, of course you're never going to have two defenders from a quality team because you're doubling up on attacking players there.
Yeah, exactly. And so if it's a team that... You know, especially for fourth or fifth defenders.
You're brilliant, by the way.
Thank you. So if you can find a team that has cheap defenders and they're keeping a lot of clean sheets, and that's their strategy for avoiding relegation. So we could still see it this season, right? Because Leicester in 2014-2015 was not known for being very defensively strong the first 20 weeks, right? Yeah. Or 30 weeks even. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, my God, the only way to stay up is to is to do this. Although I really can't imagine their manager ever using the words, oh my God, the way I just said them.
And of course, the West Brom is a good shout there too. You could have a pairing like Boaz Myhill and Craig Dawson.
Yeah, West Brom was the team I was thinking of as the team that is maybe getting closest to this.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace also might be a team to look at.
Yeah.
If only because there's so much speed on... Crystal Palace is never really going to be in a position where they're hanging back for 60 minutes in a game. Mm-hmm. We're spending most of the time on the back foot because their wingers are so fast that there's always a threat of a counter. You know, yeah. You can put Zaha on and he's just going to create trouble for the wingers and the other, for the fullbacks in their team the whole game. So I think they could be interesting too. It was kind of unfortunate. I think Papa Suare is nursing some sort of injury right now because Suare, he's 4.5 million. Although Joel Ward is also 4.4 million.
And I think, he's back in action and he's got a bonus point right off the bat.
So I guess you could argue, and Hennessy started the last five games, looks like he's pretty consistent. So if you still had a wild card and you were going to double up on a team defensively,
yeah.
I think a Joel Ward, Wayne Hennessy double up would actually make sense. I mean, Hennessy is 3.9 million. Joel Ward is 4.4.
I think Hennessy has got to really be going up one of these nights.
Yeah, one of these nights.
One of these nights it'll be a Wayne night. Star of Seinfeld.
But their fixtures coming up are not bad. You've got Sunderland, so they're away to Liverpool, but then it's home to Sunderland, home to Newcastle, away to Everton, then home to Southampton. Then they play Stoke, Bournemouth, Swansea at home. You know, very winnable fixtures.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Wayne Hennessy, I talked up last week, like I guaranteed everybody that I was going to bring in Virgil van Dijk in my defense for Southampton.
Yeah, you didn't. I did.
Yeah, and then you got a clean sheet out of it. How can you complain?
I did.
So I decided to bring in Wayne Hennessy instead so I could get Lukaku up front. And I feel like that, even though I really wished I had VVD in the back there, I think I benefited from bringing Lukaku in.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think having that extra money will be useful, and having a 3.9 million goalkeeper who you're not going to start that often is
it's not like I'm. It's not fine. Like I'm ever gonna have to. I probably won't ever play Hennessy. So if he falls out of the rotation, it's not the worst thing. I always have Joe Hart.
Yeah, because when you got Joe Hart, it'd be very rare that you don't. Yeah, he had a real howler.
That was just such garbage, total garbage.
And then the Kolarov thing was a real moment of highs and lows for me, because I don't have Kolarov, but I have Wilfred Boney. And Boney apparently is like 18th on the pecking order of penalty takers. I don't understand that either, because I remember him being a fantastic penalty taker when he was at Swansea.
Yeah, he's got a deft touch on the ball. Shelby-esque. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like 3 minutes past extra time. It's like the 99th minute. And for some reason, the game is still going on. And there's a really late penalty on Raheem Sterling. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, could Wilfred Bony actually step up and take this goal and, like, totally change my the week around?
Yeah.
And then I see Kolarov come in. And
it's guaranteed if a player insists on taking the penalty,
it's true,
he will miss. I mean,
but when he steps up, I'm thinking this can't be happening, because, you know, I dropped Kolarov rashly a couple weeks before, and it was like, am I really going to get this punished? You know, and this like late six pointer, he's probably going to get bonus points too. And then he had just a terrible, terrible penalty from Kolarov. It was awful. It softened the blow a little bit.
All right, do we have any more questions we want to get to?
Okay, so two more. First one is respective strategy. And sorry, Tucker, Tucker actually asked us a few other questions, but we'll try to get to them on Twitter.
Yeah.
El Magico asks, our respective strategies for getting Aguero back after the international break.
Now, don't we feel like El Magico is jumping the gun a little bit here? I mean, there's not been much concrete news about Aguero's return as yet.
Yeah, I was checking the Google Newses a few minutes ago.
You have a Google alert on Aguero?
No, that is a level I haven't gone to yet, is setting up Google alerts for fantasy players. I'm a little – that seems like I might have to, like, really reevaluate things if I start doing that.
Don't go there.
No offense to anybody who's doing that, but, you know, sure. It's a bridge too far.
You're all welcome.
But I think it looks like he is – they're expecting him out for another month still.
Yeah.
And that was a month as of maybe 2 days ago. So, or as of like Sunday or Monday at least. So a month is this weekend's fixtures. Another week for the international break. He's not traveling with Argentina. Probably two more fixtures after that. Mm-hmm. So we probably won't see him until, I'm thinking, early December.
Yeah, so my guess is I'm not really going to be too bothered about this until you're strategizing for the Christmas break.
Well, and even once he comes back, I know they're going to be careful with him.
Yeah.
So we may not see him play a full 90 or something close to it until like mid-December.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like he won't be ready to go the second that starts up.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, you know, I think it's definitely a little, I'd be a little worried before then.
Well, here's my first strategy. My first strategy is to hope that Mesut Ozil rises in price by 100 million pounds.
Yeah.
And then that'll give me enough money.
it would make things easier.
or if that doesn't work out, I really have no idea, because I'm pretty happy with my team going forward right now. It would be like a Sophie's choice to figure out who I would drop.
And looking at...
Because I would have to drop somebody to Westwood territory.
Let's say he misses all of the November fixtures. You know, December 5th, let's say that was the weekend he came back. That's a way to stoke, not a game you'd absolutely have to have him for. You know, December night in Stoke. You know, that's not a...
That's not a saying.
You know, it should be, though. A wet December night in Stoke should be the full expression.
We'll allow it.
And then home to Swansea. Okay, maybe you'd want to, you know, you would want him for that. And then away to Arsenal in game week 17. You know, even if he's back, there's a chance he wouldn't score in that game. So it looks like the weekend you'd really want to bring Aguero, the day you'd really want to bring Aguero back for would be Boxing Day, December 26th. He is at home to Sunderland. Week after that, they are away to Leicester. A week after that, it's the Christmas fixture, so there's like three games in 7 days.
Yeah.
But you'd really want him for that Boxing Day fixture. So I actually think you don't have to worry about this for a good – I mean, obviously, he could end up becoming a differential, you know, if he comes back early on and people aren't prepared to make those moves. But, you know, the most you can ever save is two transfers, right? So, you know
I am thinking about saving a transfer this coming week and getting two transfers going into the international break.
Are you? Yeah. I have too much surgery to do elsewhere. I'm pretty sure I know what my move is going to be. I'm planning on bringing in Sadio Mane.
Okay.
But I'm just going to give it a couple days to make sure. I'm one of those people. I really have a hard time making a transfer before game week 5, especially with Champions League fixtures on. It's just too risky. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we have one more question from, do you want to answer the soccer captain's question?
Yes. Okay. So, the question is, this comes from at Soccer Captains, website that actually just did a Rate My Team featuring your team.
Yeah. So
you've been rated.
So we've met with Tim Shaw, who actually runs this website at Soccer Captains, and they have great data over there on your FPL squad. And they've just launched a YouTube channel, and apparently I can go there and see how Soccer Captains rated my team.
So I'm excited to see this. His question is, which position do you feel it is best to utilize differential players at this point in the season? So the question is, which position, I guess, defensively, midfield, forward? So we've talked about this in earlier episodes of the podcast. My feeling on differentials is that it's – okay, well, it's not that it's too early to use differentials because – you don't want a team full of differentials this early. I mean, we still have 27 weeks to go. We're not even at the third way mark of the season yet.
Yeah.
So you don't want to fall into the trap of having you still want most of the top players, you know, or most of the players who are seem to be the top players this season so far. I think at this point in the season, you can, pretty much determine, okay, X, so-and-so isn't a fluke, right? We said this with Agallo over the weekend. I mean, at this point, Agallo has
Payet.
Or Payet, right. But Agallo, even more so, because he's so cheap that you don't necessarily – it's scary to bring in someone like that because you're like, oh, well, if I spend that money, it's going to be hard to get him out. But Agallo has been involved in, I think, almost every single goal that Watford scored. He has been involved in the – either with a goal or an assist or a key pass or something like that. So – I mean, Agallo is for real, right? After 11 weeks of the season, you just have to accept that it's real.
I haven't watched a lot of Watford, but is Troy Deeney basically just reading the newspaper by the corner flag? Like, what is he doing?
He's playing behind Agallo. I mean, he has a lot of assists or assist to assist. I mean, he's very involved in the play. I actually watched a lot of Watford when I had Deeney on my team. Uh-huh. He's actually an easy player to like. I actually like watching that Watford team play. I think they're kind of interesting, and they have lots of... It doesn't, despite Agallo scoring all these goals, it doesn't feel like a one-man team. It feels like they're really working well together.
Yeah.
So
I would say, well, if you actually feel like you want to bring in a differential, for me, it's got to be in the midfield because that's where all of the points get scored. That's where a real differential is going to have an impact. You're getting 5 points per goal, plus you have access to clean sheet points.
I think another idea.
And there's the biggest template. Typically happening in the midfield. You've got Payet, De Bruyne, Mahrez, and Sanchez. And that's a template that if you can crack that with a differential, it's huge.
I think a long-term idea, too, would be to really invest in a strong defense because we know, Southampton, Everton, Man United, all of those teams have great fixtures coming up over the next, at least 5 or 6 weeks, even longer for Man United and Everton. And you could really have a strong defense right now and pretty consistent. Well, actually, the Everton thing, well, I guess we'll get to that later. I'm not sure how I feel about Everton at this point. They're a little it's a little nerve-wracking, I think, too.
Yeah, their defense doesn't look super solid.
Invest too heavily in their defense.
This is, just to get back to El Magico's question, the investment in the defense is the one thing that scares me about how I might get Aguero back into my team. If I become too heavily invested in the back...
I think at the end of the day, it's not going to take more than 3 moves to bring Aguero in, and it might only take 2.
Mm-hmm.
How many moves would it take you to get
Kevin Bacon into your FPL team? That's the question.
It's 6 degrees of Sergio Aguero. So I think having some strong defenders at least for the next few weeks would be a differential. But I think long term, it's. I mean, there's no way to do it other than maybe captaining the right people.
Yeah.
Or being a little more creative with your captaining. I think that's a great way to make up points quickly. But if you're looking for more of a, what's the word? Like a steady beat, like a whatever. what is that called? Like the steady beat, like
a metronome.
Yeah, if you want more of a metronomic uptick in points, I think investing more heavily in your defense is a good way to do it, because you know, it's a way to pick up an extra 4 points on people kind of week in, week out. You know, it's never going to be as explosive, or rarely is it going to be.
Yeah.
But it's an area that a lot of people neglect, as we have already discussed in this podcast.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks to all the cheaters out there for their questions. You can find us at Hail Cheaters on Twitter, and you can still join that mini league. The code is right up there on the Twitter page, or at alwayscheating.com. All right, now it is time, Josh, for us to review the highlighted fixtures of Game Week 11. There was some excitement, particularly in the very first fixture of Saturday morning, Chelsea hosting Liverpool.
Yeah, that was a very interesting game.
Yeah, I had Nathaniel Klein. You started Martin Skrtel, too.
Yeah, both of us had terrible defenses this week. Yeah.
There was no inclination that a clean sheet was coming, and I really didn't care. I was just super excited to see to give this game a true watch.
Yeah, what did we call last week? A pure watch?
A pure watch.
A pure watch.
So this is this week's Always Cheating Approved Pure Watch.
So I think so a couple things stood out for me in this game. One is that I guess we've already talked about this a fair amount on the podcast, but it's just not happening for Chelsea right now. There's no differentials to be gained there. There's no consistent scoring from any of the offensive players. Jose Mourinho is apparently not going to get fired, so there's not going to be like that, or at least not yet. So there's no new manager uptick in points and energy or whatever, you know, which we might see at some point.
You know, it's remarkable when Willian is your easiest path to points on the Chelsea team.
It is remarkable. And Diego Costa, you know, he had, I guess in the end, we shouldn't, you know, you can't overrate a performance against Aston Villa when you're playing the worst goalkeeper in the league.
Yeah,
who's going to make two or three mistakes every game?
Yep,
almost all of which are going to lead to goals.
Yeah, poor Brad Guzan. Yeah, we were having a Twitter discussion about this again during that Spurs game, and Guzan is just.
What did you say? He batters the ball like a kitten.
Well, yeah, when it's like
a kitten,
you know,
with a ball of string.
anyone who has a cat or has played with a cat, you know, when a cat sees movement in front of it, it doesn't like. Grab the object, it sort of flails at it in a wild manner, and that's exactly how Guzan goes for the ball. He just like spread eagles in the air.
He has no confidence right now. It's
tough. He seems like a nice guy, and we're proud U.S. men's national team supporters. We hate to slag him off, but it's been a real rough patch for him.
So the one thing that stood out to me though is that I think so. We've talked before about how Liverpool's fixtures do get better. I think starting in game week 14, but even starting this week, really, Christian Benteke is a real option again.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
8.3 million, super cheap. Owned by only 12.9% of the league, which is a huge drop from where he was, even, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago. I guess he's been out since game week 6.
And the last couple of game weeks, he's been an impact sub. So even him not getting starting minutes has not impacted his value.
He played 45 minutes last week and came away with 8 points, 3 bonus points and 45 minutes. Played 27 minutes this game week, had a goal and an assist and 2 bonus points, picked up 9 points.
It's ridiculous.
And then they're at home this weekend. So if you're looking for a differential forward, he'd be very compelling option. I think for me, what I'm looking at is possibly bringing Benteke in 2 weeks, because bringing out Wilfred Bony at some point, probably in late December. I mean, despite what I was just saying about Aguero, I'm still not completely sold on Bony as an option. Not just because he blanked over the weekend; he should have scored like 3 goals over the weekend.
Yeah.
But just it may make more sense to bring in Benteke as a long term investment and a bit of a differential pickup too.
Agreed. Yeah, this is the first point in the season where I'm feeling like, all right, we've been at this for a while now, because now I'm struggling to remember when I actually had Benteke in that Bournemouth game so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Man, remember that was a great,
it's a heady August, Brandon.
It was so long ago. No, I like that. I like the idea of picking up Benteke here in the next couple of weeks.
Any takeaways for you from these games?
Well, you just have to be really you have to be really positive about what Klopp is doing at that team. I think you're seeing the confidence levels. You're looking at Coutinho getting out of his rut. And he is a streaky player, so you can't read too much into it.
Yeah.
But I really do like Liverpool's chances of getting into the top four, which makes me feel more confident in sticking with my Nathaniel Klein pick in the defense. I do see some clean sheets coming there once they get fully organized.
I feel the same way. I mean, I have been dying to get rid of Skrtel for weeks, yeah. And I guess now I probably have to keep him, you know? I mean, that...
Yeah, so,
were it not for that late Southampton goal, that kind of fluky Mane goal, yeah. Late Liverpool Southampton game, I would have had two clean sheets in a row, and I actually would have had 18 points.
Yeah, six points and bonus points.
Yeah, because he was on for three bonus points. Yeah. Pretty far and away on for three bonus points when that goal was scored. Yeah. And it's kind of a shame that you just lose all bonus points when the clean sheet is lost.
It is a shame.
Yeah.
You touched upon this.
And they only allowed one goal at home to Chelsea, you know, or on the road to Chelsea. So yeah. It wasn't like they looked pretty tight. I mean, they really, you know, once Chelsea scored that early goal, they hung back way too much. Chelsea, there was really no respect for Liverpool's ability to come back and score in that game. And I know they were playing with a strikerless formation, but you know, listen until Benteke came on.
Just to talk about their defense, Skrtel is the right pick. He looked so good in that Chelsea. I mean, he's looked really good the last 3 weeks. And
yeah, I think so, too. I think he's very much nailed on. I don't understand this idea that Dejan Lovren is going to take his spot.
Who said that? That's ridiculous.
He and Sako both seem like... Sako has been playing very well, too.
Yeah.
I think... and I guess now, I mean, no one owns any of these Liverpool defenders. No. So,
I mean,
unless you're a Liverpool
fan,
you don't know the defenders. Yeah,
their upcoming fixtures, Crystal Palace, then Man City away. That's a non-starter. But then Swansea at home, Newcastle away, West Brom at home. Points definitely to be had there. I'm not going to be getting rid of Klein.
Yeah, I agree. And Chelsea, you just got to stay away from everybody.
Forget it. Okay, right. So next up we're going to talk about the crazy Leicester West Brom game,
which yeah.
I was not watching.
You weren't?
No, I mean I was on clean sheet watch because of Craig Dawson, but then of course I have Mahrez on the bench and I see Mahrez scores a goal and I'm kind of like, well maybe Ayew is going to score a goal and prove me right for starting him over Mahrez.
Because one goal you can handle. That's always my feeling. You know, one goal on the bench is like, okay, fine, whatever. Yeah. You know.
And but then it was like goal. 3-4 minutes later. How long before
crazy,
the second goal?
Crazy fast. Yeah,
a lot of people did bench Mahrez this week. I think a lot of us were thinking that team was going to quiet down, or at least Mahrez was going to quiet down.
I mean, that was a West Brom team that did they have? Was it two clean sheets in a row coming into this game?
Yeah, I think that, and you saw this happen against Everton as well with West Brom. Once they let one goal in, they just seemed to totally fall apart. Like. Arsenal levels of mental collapse.
Yeah, it was very surprising. And to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of the West Brom games the last few weeks because they're so boring and horrible. But I did. So I feel like I have a very skewed picture because I saw them play against a lesser team that doesn't play a very conventional style of football.
Yeah,
you've got to be a little worried about Dawson going forward, right? I mean, the fixtures over the next 5 weeks is Man United, Arsenal, West Ham, Tottenham, Liverpool.
If I were to pluck anybody out of my team right now, I have 0.6 in the bank, and I could upgrade Dawson to something special, something really special.
You could have a lot of fun with it. You could really maybe double up on that Liverpool defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still would love to get Van Dijk into my team.
What about, Van Dijk is interesting, possibly an Everton defender if you feel like they can turn it around. I mean,
yeah,
it'll worry some without Jake Jalka, but, you know, it's possible.
Definitely.
What about Rojo on Man U? That'd be an interesting idea.
Yeah. I mean, I just have this feeling I've got to do something with Dawson and I have to do something with my defense because clean sheets have been few and far between. But to bet on a clean sheet is...
it's got to be hard to get rid of Dawson, though. He's been so good for you.
He has been good for me over the course of two seasons, and he's always good for a couple of goals in the season. I guess
I still think of him as the other Dawson. I'm a Michael Dawson guy. Yeah, give me Mike Dawson any day.
Who he's still playing for Hull City in the championship now?
He is. Hull just went top again in the championship.
Good for
Hull.
Them.
Hull and Burnley are our top two teams right now.
Yeah, Burnley just roasted Fulham 3-1 today as well. So
yeah, I want Burnley to come back. I love Sean Dyche. That was just a who didn't like that Burnley team?
Nobody. Jerks didn't like that that team. Yeah, no, the other thing for me with this Leicester-West Brom game is it just made me wistful for the days that I owned Mark Albrighton.
Yeah.
He exhibited the promise that he showed in game week one.
Well, he's still pretty – he's not very expensive, is he?
Yeah, I mean, he could be –
He's 4.9, so I guess Dele Alli and Albrighton would be your two.
Yeah, totally.
It looked like he was kind of making his way out of the lineup. I mean, he doesn't play a full 90 very often anymore, but, you know, still well, five
it's
assists.
It's that Ranieri style of tinkering that causes us all to doubt whether it's Albrighton or Mahrez. Is he even going to start these guys?
Yeah, that's true. But Mahrez still, I mean, sitting on seven goals and five assists at 6.6 million.
Yeah, I mean, this week definitely just drove that point home.
Do you think the Vardy thing will ever end? I mean, 11 goals in 11 games.
No, it won't end.
11 bonus points, excuse me. I mean, he has – so how many goals – I don't know if you have it pulled up here, but if you don't, how many goals do you think he scored in all of 2014, 2015?
Okay, I don't have it pulled up, so this is a pure guess. Wait, this is last season?
Yeah, last season, the whole season.
I'll say 8 goals.
Five goals.
Five goals. My God.
He has more than doubled his haul. Now, he actually had 12 assists last season, which is kind of interesting. He's only had one so far this year.
I think those 12 assists all came from missed shots coming off the keeper or off the post, probably.
Maybe. I know Ujoa was starting last season early on. I had Ujoa for a while. I had Ujoa during his two-goal Man United game. Remember that crazy like 5-2 game?
Showed great promise. Mm-hmm. Well, Vardy scored in that goal or in that game too.
Yeah, yeah. Man, we should not remember early 2014 pictures. All right, so
Leicester. Okay, so will Vardy continue? They've got Watford, then Newcastle, United, Swansea, Chelsea. He could easily score in all these games.
Yeah, he really could.
I guess it's weird to say, but of all those games, Watford would be my biggest concern because they're so tight.
Yeah, you really just have to have Vardy. I will be bringing in Vardy at some point. I mean, I can't. I'm not this stubborn. I mean, the thing is, what's crazy is it's not like I feel like the last couple of games, the goals he hasn't actually taken that many shots. He just keeps scoring in like the one shot he has.
Right. All just incredibly well taken.
Although I guess he did just miss a goal early on in this. I guess you weren't watching the game, but he almost scored, I think, in the first 10 or 15 minutes of that West Brom game.
And then Twitter would have just completely exploded.
Reading Twitter right now, it's almost too much, especially when I'm having a bad week. Part of the problem
I've got 80 points. Is that any good?
Yeah, 80 points, and I still got my triple captain to come, so I don't know if that's any good. I'm probably average, right? You know, yeah. Or so, yeah, it's like the humble bragging has to stop. Where it's like, yeah, I got 115 so far with 9 players left and probably looking at a red arrow, right? It's like, stop.
I saw somebody post 79 points. Is that how far up the rankings does that usually push you?
Yeah. Come on.
If Aguero scored 5 goals, not very much.
Wait your 6 hours and then it'll be done. I will say it takes way too long for everything to get updated. I mean, every year you and I do an NCAA tournament pool, right? The NCAA, the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, college basketball in the States.
College basketball. You pick your teams in the 6-14 bracket. We play it. We have a league that we set up in ESPN. Millions of people play in this. More people play in this than play Fantasy Premier League. I think it's like 20 million people are in this ESPN league. The numbers are absolutely insane.
President Obama posts his bracket online. He's easy to play.
And you can have like up to 25 teams. It's a huge thing. And again, when that tournament starts, you have 16 games going on in one day, right? Tons of fixtures going on.
Yeah.
Everything is updated seconds after it's over. The total for your mini league, the total for all the leagues,
your ranking,
your overall ranking, the percentile that you're in, everything is done instantaneously. And I understand that ESPN is a Disney company. It's You know, they've got tons of money.
Yeah.
But the Premier League is not exactly doing that bad, you know? Well, it seems like they can invest in some server costs and actually get this shit updated before, you know, the head-to-head, like, that takes forever, right? You, like, go to bed and you wake up the next morning.
It's the last thing to get updated. Yeah. Well, have you ever played NFL Fantasy online? How fast is that update?
I didn't, actually. I played NFL Fantasy back in the days when it was all done on paper.
What? Did you also?
Well, actually, no. It
was imagining bowling as well.
Paper hadn't been invented yet, actually. So we would do it on
papyrus.
We had chalk, and we'd do it on caves. We would mark down the points on the chalk on the cave with the chalk.
Okay, so the last game we want to zero in.
I'm gonna ruin that joke at the end there, but
no, it's fine. Power. I think everyone's still chuckling. I'm gonna let them laugh, and while we prepare to talk about our last focus fixture, Everton. Their mauling of Sunderland 6-2.
Yeah, the highlight of this game for me was definitely the side foot Lukaku goal, or the Lukaku assist to Kone.
Oh my God, outside of the foot, it was beautiful. Ridiculous.
It was.
With which he and Kone were working together, and I tell you what, like, new favorite goal celebration, hands down, is Kone's gyration. And
it's
with
a
that
crazy
celebration. Beautiful smile.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
He just looked like he was having the time of his freaking life out there.
It really changes the game with Everton too.
To have that kind of scoreline going into this massive run of fixtures, I couldn't have been more pleased to have Lukaku in my lineup.
It would actually be an interesting idea to at least consider, given you know, and not to be a total broken record here, but given how good the run is for Everton over the next several weeks. I mean, I guess away to West Ham. Actually, even away to West Ham.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's worried about that game? Yeah. But given
not watertight.
From 13, from game week 13 to game week, you know, whatever, 19 basically, you could at least consider having two. You could have Kone and Lukaku in your team. I mean, after that hat trick, I would expect Kone to start at least the next several fixtures, right? I mean,
oh, yes.
Given how well he played.
Yeah, and of course, 4.8 million. So we go back to the Dele Alli and Mark Albrighton discussion.
Right. How about that? Like,
I guess Kone is a forward, so that's a little slightly different.
Over the next 10 weeks, if you only had money to bring in a 5 million defender, or excuse me, a 5 million forward,
mm-hmm.
And you had to do it for some reason, let's say you lost a bet, or I don't know, you're just a... You like to make things difficult for yourself.
Uh-huh.
So if you could only bring in one player who is 5.5 million or cheaper, who would you bring in? A Gallo, Kone, or a Jose Perez?
Well,
if you want, or any other option, any other sub 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, I assume you're joking about Jose Perez. Ha ha, funny. You'd have to go Kone, right? Because Gallo is now hugely owned. He's a little template.
He's not hugely owned, actually. Surprising.
No, it's his ownership.
His ownership is 15%.
Oh.
And that's after 7 goals and 2 assists.
That's outrageous.
It is. And their next fixture is away to Leicester, and then they play away to Aston Villa, home to Norwich, away to Sunderland.
Now, Kone is owned by 5.6%. I don't know. So the question of differential becomes less compelling.
There's a slight concern about risk, despite what I just said. I mean, it's possible that Kone certainly I would expect him to start next week and probably the week after that. But long term, there's, you know, I mean, he hasn't, him playing 90 minutes in game week 11 was the first time all year he'd played 90 minutes.
Yeah.
He played 2 minutes the week before, 45 minutes and a half against Man United, 12 minutes against Liverpool. Now, it could be that they're bringing him on against lesser opposition and, you play him when you're, when you want to be a little more free-flowing in your offense and when you want to be a little more defensive or something. To be honest, I'm not – I guess I don't know enough about Everton to know what they bring what Naismith brings versus Kone from like a more kind of all-around point of view. Like, I don't know if Naismith tracks back better or something like – you know, I don't know. But
well, as evidenced by this weekend, I think the thing that Martinez is going to focus in on is the chemistry that was shown between Lukaku and Kone. And if he wants to score goals,
yeah,
I think he can ride that for at least a couple of games.
Yeah, I think so too. So if you're looking for a true punt, I think the Everton forward double up would be an interesting option.
Yeah. And Sunderland's performance – makes me very wary of bringing in. I mean, Sunderland looked like hot garbage, yet they still scored two goals. So I'm totally not sold on this Everton defense.
All year they've been able to score, though, that Sunderland team, to be fair. I don't think many people have kept clean sheets against them all season.
But they were so soft in the middle of their defense, you have to be considering captaining Pele next week.
Stephen Fletcher would be interesting if there weren't so many other good 5 million options.
Yeah.
I mean, he's scored three goals in the last four games.
For me, his beard is far more compelling than his play.
He's a handsome Scot, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Stephen Fletcher?
He seems like a nice guy.
He's a good. I've loved him ever since. He was on. He was on Wolverhampton, wasn't he? Way back when.
Yeah, back in those Premier League days.
Yeah, I think it was maybe our first year or two in the Premier League. Those are the first times we had. That was. Anyway, yeah, but way back when. Way back when.
The one other I wanted to quickly touch upon this other fixture before we move on to the Rate My Team. But did you watch the Southampton Bournemouth game?
No, I didn't actually. I was on a bird walk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that you probably resigned yourself to your fate at that point. Anyway.
I did. Yeah.
The last fixture of Sunday, either you were in or you were out on the game week at that point. But this was the most bizarre game I have seen this season. Southampton, it was like men against boys in the first half. Southampton looked like they were going to be on for a solid eight goals. Like Bournemouth just didn't know what was going on. And then in the second half, it was all Bournemouth.
I saw that. And, you know, part of it was, you know, because so many people have Pele didn't really feel like, you know, a lot of people had Pele, a lot of people had him captain. So it was kind of painful to what, I wasn't really rooting for him to do very much.
Yeah.
And I had Van Dijk in the game, but sometimes when you have a defender in a game, it's almost too stressful to watch. You know,
can't be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you're just like, all right, just let me know when it's over. You know, either I kept a clean sheet or I didn't.
Van Dijk is fun to watch offensively on corner kicks. He's always mixing it up in there.
Yeah, I think so too. I think long term, I'm going to be happy to have him. I had thought about Bertrand, so that stung a little bit. But in the end, I do think that long term, Van Dijk is the Southampton defender you'd want.
Yeah,
especially with Jose Font maybe out with an injury, right? Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, he came off at halftime. I really don't know what the news is there.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. He's just got the 75%. I guess he's got a bit of a hammy issue, so they might not risk him this week. You know, then give him 2 weeks of the international break. I think that's possible.
Let's just jump right into our Rate My Team for this week.
All right, let's do it.
So Bobby Gozal goes by the name of Klopp Republic FC, and he is currently in position 182 in the Hail Cheaters League.
Okay.
Now, I actually missed our opportunity to mention this earlier. Our Klopp pun of the week. Is actually not Klopp Republic FC, but I wanted to highlight Kloptimus Prime, Sebastian Gross, who's in 54th place. Well done to you, sir.
That's not bad. All right, so sorry, Brady. I'm just pull him up here. You keep talking. I'll vamp.
So Bobby G, Klopp Republic FC, he actually had a great game week, despite him being in 182 position. He played his bench boost this week, and I mean, get a load of this bench. He had Bellerin, Ighalo, and Mahrez on his bench. Now, this sort of team management might tell you exactly why he's so far down the table, because I'm kind of questioning your tactics there. However,
well, the thing is, if you're playing the bench, it doesn't really matter what your starting 11 looks like.
Yeah, no, that's actually true. Maybe he didn't even have to give any thought to how his squad was looking. So,
but Bobby doesn't care about things like aesthetics. That's not his way.
He's got 467 points overall. His overall rank is 1,990,000, etc.
Okay.
And
top two thirds.
Yeah. In the bank, he's got 0.1 million. Team value is really strong, 103.7 million. And I mean, just at a glance, this team is stacked. All right, so let's start with, speaking of stacked, he's got two heavy hitter goalkeepers here, Hugo Lloris and Joe Hart.
Yeah, that was the thing that immediately stuck out to me. I think it's too much money to have for your goalkeepers. Especially I don't know. I mean, like, the problem is it just puts you in a position where you have to make a tough decision every single week. Yeah,
the rotation there doesn't seem evident to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know that you like to have at least one strong defender more than I do. I tend to like to 4.5.
Yeah, I usually go with a set it and forget it goalkeeper. Now, while Lloris and Hart are both two of the best goalkeepers in the league, it seems like overdoing it to have both these guys in their back line. So actually, I'm going to rate this a 6 out of 10 Pokus on our Poku Rate My Team scale.
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10 Pokus. And the reason, it's not that it's not strong, but it's just that I got to deduct some points for having money invested in your goalkeepers that could be invested elsewhere.
Yeah,
I mean we just talked about an option like Hennessy, who, you know, at $3.9 million is offering something pretty similar to what you're getting from Joe Hart in most weeks. It seems
true. Yeah, this season, I mean, clean sheets are whatever.
They're it's that way every season. It's just, you know, it's hard to know what you're getting, and the problem with, you know, having an expensive defender, you know, partially what you're paying for is you do often get some goal threat there.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you have fullbacks. You saw it with Ryan Bertrand this week. You know, even if Bournemouth had scored late on after the red card, he's still looking at 5 points. You know, so and you know with the goalkeeper, you know, if they lose that clean sheet, you know, then you never get bonus points if your goalkeeper loses the clean sheet. It just never happens. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're looking at 3 or 4 points with saves. You know, in an epic week, you might get 5 bonus points or 5 points total.
Yeah.
With enough saves, like we saw with Pantomimon last year, that famous Arsenal game.
Oh yeah, and speaking of Pantomimon, he has looked like total trash this whole season.
I know. We were just talking last week after their 3-0 win over Newcastle, and I was like, well, maybe you got to start looking at Billy Jones and these guys, and they immediately dump 6 goals at Everton.
Yeah. Okay, so that's 6 Pokus for me, 3 Pokus from Josh on the goalkeepers. Look at the defense. Again, pretty strong here. Virgil van Dijk, Toby Alderweireld for Spurs, and then we've got Brendan Galloway on Everton, Kolarov with a very disappointing goose egg against Norwich, and then on the bench it's Hector Bellerin for Arsenal. So a lot of heavy hitters there.
A lot of heavy hitters.
Rotation is another total headache.
Could be a bit of a headache there. Yeah, Alderweireld. If you got him at $5 million, that's not too bad. Galloway is going to be a problem because I'm not sure he's going to be starting much longer. I know that Leighton Baines is on his way back and might be back after the international break.
Yeah.
So I think he's probably going to take
Galloway's
spot.
Didn't even start over the weekend. He only made it onto the field because Oviedo went off injured straight away.
True. So but he plays forward when he plays.
Yeah, you do have to like his attacking potential.
Yeah, but yeah, picked up a big zero this weekend. Yeah, I feel like
so. Who do you drop here if you're looking to?
Yeah, I feel like with this many players with Alderweireld, Van Dijk, Kolarov, and Bellerin. I mean, all four of those are defenders you want to play almost every week.
Yeah.
And Galloway over this next run, I suppose. Although, you know, you could also leave him on your bench. It does seem like a lot of money's tied up in the defense, too. Maybe a little too much.
So, I mean, my recommendation would be to drop Hugo Lloris and just set Joe Hart in the goal, and that would free you up, Bobby, to get rid of Kolarov.
Yeah, although I actually think I mean, you know, he's trying to, you know, he's in $1.9 million. He's trying to come back. I like a lot of the fixtures for these defenders over the next few weeks. You know, it might be worth going with a 4-man back line if you've got this much money there. If you've already got the defense,
yeah.
You know, Alderweireld's fixtures aren't great. They're kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
Arsenal, West Ham, and Chelsea in the next three. They get a little better after that, so you're probably going to have him on the bench for a while anyway. I certainly wouldn't play Alderweireld away to Arsenal this weekend.
Yeah, we've only seen one thing in Alderweireld's locker last season with Southampton is I feel like he was getting more assists and goals, and this season just 1 goal for Spurs.
Yeah, but he's looked pretty good. I mean, I think if I were going to have a Spurs defender, he has 1 goal and 1 assist. 2 bonus points. I think he's the defender I'd want. Although Eric Dyer, I guess, is an option too.
Yeah.
All right. How many? I'm still a little worried about Dyer playing every week, but Yeah, let's give him... I'm going to go with 7 Pokus. I mean, it's an expensive defense. No, you know what? Brandon, I'm having one of my famous changes of heart.
Wow, you flip-flopper.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it 8 Pokus.
Okay.
Love the defense.
I was thinking 7 Pokus. I thought we were going to be right on the money there. But so it's 7 for me, 8 for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving on to the midfield, we've got Alexis Sanchez, Dusan Tadic, Dimitri Payet, Kevin De Bruyne, and Riyad Mahrez. Again, just stacked to the hilt.
Yep.
I feel like Bobby's going for, he's trying to get on the homepage with highest team value with this squad.
Yeah, what is his team value? Yeah, he's at almost one of 4 million. He's got me beat. That's
he's
for sure.
He's got 103.7 with 0.1 in the bank. So that's a gross of 103.8.
So I feel bad about ragging on Tadic because it's the one player that he's got that's kind of a differential. Yeah. And you want to applaud that a little bit. It is, you know, it's like you want to like applaud people who don't have a full template.
Yeah.
But I'm not, even at 7 million, I'm not, which isn't that expensive. I'm just not sure that Tadic is the player that I'd want. I think, especially if you freed up some money by getting rid of one of your goalkeepers, I think you could turn him into somebody better.
Mane,
Ayu, lots of different options.
Yeah,
even Sterling, I guess. I mean, Sterling's not that much more expensive. 2 million, I think.
Yeah, and Sterling having a fantastic game in the Champions League here on Tuesday when we were recording it. So he's looking better and better about
the
game.
The thing with his team that's interesting is you look at this, you know, midfield with a lot of money in it, defense with a lot of money in it, forward goalkeepers with a lot of money. It's showing you I'm surprised that he's done so far. I think he might have started in game week 2. I think I might remember him saying this on Twitter.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
That would explain things a little bit. But I think you see how much you can spread money around and how, I mean, like, his forward line is not very expensive, but it's hard to take too much of an issue with it, right? I mean, you have a Gallo, Jamie Vardy, and Pele. And, I mean, at some point, especially when Aguero comes back, you're going to run into trouble.
Yeah.
But right now, you can absolutely get away with having a forward line where no one costs more than $8.5 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that almost might be the template right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. So where does that put you on the Poku scale with this midfield?
I'm going to go 7. I don't like it quite as much as I like the defense. Yeah. I mean, I don't really take issue with anything on here. I just think that having 5 midfielders who you want to play week in and week out,
yeah,
creates headaches, you know, as you're seeing, Brandon.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
is. Yeah.
It's almost easier sometimes just to have a 4.5 midfielder that you never play.
Yeah, no.
Because otherwise, you're just in the situations where you're just agonizing over who to play, and then you have, you know, one of your guys gets.
Yeah, you know, it was so much easier when I had Tim Gomes up in my front three, and I was like, oh, I can bench that guy. He sucks.
Oh, Tim. Yeah, sweet Tim. Should have scored against Arsenal. Can't believe that score.
He was just in on goal, and he hesitated. Even Cech hesitated. Cech was like, what is this guy doing?
Form doesn't seem like something that should be real. You know, like, this is like form should be like clutch in baseball. You know, baseball, it's idea that, you know, like clutchness does not exist, that it's just, you know, over the long run, you perform in any situation basically the same as you would in any other situation.
Yeah.
That's kind of the dumbed down version of it. But, but with form, you absolutely see it, right? I mean, a confident soccer player is a player who is lethal. You know, at least a forward. You know, they're just they see it and they strike. And that, I mean, you see with Jamie Vardy right now, right? I mean, every time that guy has the ball, it's if he's not scoring, he's missing by 6 inches. You know, I mean, he's right on the ball.
Yeah, I'm actually not gonna rag on Tadic as much as you. By the way, going back to that Swansea Arsenal game, Hector Bellerin got back to help with that stuffing that Gomes.
Yeah. What a great player.
Breakaway. And then he comes back and he has like a goal line clearance against what should have been a certain goal for IU and would have justified my decision.
I saw that too. Unfortunately, he's not playing against Bayern tomorrow and he's a doubt for this weekend. Some people say he's going to start, but I think that's unlikely.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if Bellerin played in the North London Derby this weekend. I think they'll probably rest him through the international break.
Okay, remind me where you fell on the Poku scale with Bobby G's midfield?
7.
7 Pokus. Okay, I'm going to go 8 because I just love that Tadic is the differential here, and I don't dislike him as much as you. do. His playing time is a little sketch.
I don't dislike Tadic. I just don't think he's outside of the famous game week 8 last year. He's not the most explosive of players.
Yeah.
I guess he actually. Well, I guess in game week 4 he had 16 points, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean he can be explosive. I don't know. I want more consistent returns than I'm getting from Tadic. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, looking at his whole run over the course of 11 weeks, it's better than we give him credit for. But yeah. I just don't.
Yeah, he's kind of having an under the radar season.
Yeah.
All right, Klopp Republic FC frontline, as you mentioned, Josh Pele, Vardy, and Ighalo.
Yeah.
Fantastic frontline. Everybody here is in form. That's got to be a 9.5 Pokus.
Yeah, given the way the money is distributed on Bobby's team, I have to imagine he did not have Aguero at any point. Because for him to bring despite saying earlier on that it should only take 2 or 3 moves to bring in Aguero for most people, yeah. I think the way his team is constituted, I think it would actually be a bit of a pain in the ass to bring Aguero in. Because you've got the 2 5-million forwards and a lot of expensive defenders. Now, it may not really matter. I mean, having Aguero was something that, I mean, if Aguero doesn't score 5 goals, if he's still too injured to play the second half of that Newcastle game, we all still feel like fools for having him, right? I mean,
he absolutely. had the one
game week, which helps everyone to have this sort of ex post facto justification of having him for 8 weeks in a row, which he basically did nothing, other than this stretch of about 30 minutes in that Newcastle game, right? I mean, I think he scored his first goal in like the 35th minute and scored 4 more before like the 65th minute, and then they subbed him.
Yeah.
So, if he doesn't have that 30-minute stretch, it's looking very smart not to have Aguero.
Yeah.
So, so not to like get too off track here, but I mean, he's not as a sense, if we can look past the 5-goal moment.
Yeah.
It's not like you need to have Aguero in the very first week that he comes back.
After that 5 goals, this has become the Aguero season, and he has only been a factor in one game week. But it was just a game week where he was the only factor.
Right. It was the most. I mean, it was one of the more significant moments that I've had in 5 years of playing the fantasy league. Right. I mean, it was that extraordinary.
I thought you were going to lead it to be like it was probably the most profound moment of my entire life.
Yes, as an American, it was a great moment. No, it was a crazy moment.
It was all summed up in one text message that you sent me right after the 5th goal. And actually, so I watched the games streaming through the NBC Sports Live Extra.
Yeah.
So I had to stay slightly away from Twitter because there's like a 20 second delay. So yeah. I got a text from you that just says Jesus Christ. And at that point, I knew a 5th goal had gone in.
that was amazing. So anyway, but we can't let one data point override everything else, you know? And so I am definitely not going to be one. I'm not going to be spend, and sorry, Bobby, I don't mean to get too off track here with the RMT, but I think it would be crazy to spend more than 4 points to bring Aguero in right off the bat. I think, plan it out, save yourself 2 transfers for 1 game week.
Yeah.
Maybe burn 4 points if you have to, or maybe just set yourself up to bring him in the following week.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, in closing, my closing remarks for Bobby G and
Do we rate his forward line?
Yeah, I gave it a 9.5.
Oh, wow.
What are you giving it? How many Pokus?
It is almost a 10, given what he's done, given what the performance from the players that he has so far.
Yeah.
I feel like I might want to subtract 1 Poku just because one has to assume that either Vardy or Ighalo will not keep performing at this level. And then he may have a bit of a headache trying to bring in another defender or bring another forward because there aren't that many 5 million options. I mean, I'm assuming that Kone long term isn't going to be Kone's not going to be somebody you want for 38 weeks, So you might have to move things around a little bit. But, given where it is, I'll say 9.5.
Yeah. It is rare you see a team like this, a team that's just so well constructed, but it's too well constructed. It's just a massive headache when you look to set your squad every weekend.
Yeah, if you could play the bench boost every week, this would be a good team.
This would be the best team ever. I'll be curious to see how Bobby sets his team going into game week 12.
But overall, I really like this team. I'm going to give it I'll give it 8 Pokus overall.
Overall, okay. Let's give it a unified always cheating Poku rating, and I'll also go with 8.
All right. All right. Well, good luck the rest of the season, Bobby.
Yeah. So we have a nice healthy queue of Rate My Teams coming up. But of course, if you want to hear our pointed analysis, you can hit us up on Twitter or through our website, alwaystricky.com.
We're going to hold ourselves to one per episode.
Yeah. So it could take us quite a while to get to you. So we beg your patience.
Yeah, but we're not going to do one per week, and we're definitely looking forward to it. But we just
absolutely
I like the balance. I like talking about the fixtures too. So yeah. we want the spread.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of fixtures, it's time to step into the Always Cheating Optimizer.
The optimizer activated,
and it's game week 12. Josh, you want to take us through the fixtures, and so we can figure out in these games we want in our squads.
Let's do it. And we, Brandon, I can officially say that we on this Saturday, if you are in New York, we're going to the Football Factory to watch games.
Yes.
We'll be there for this early morning fixture.
And to show you our commitment, we're even going to get there for the 7:45 a.m. kickoff of Bournemouth-Newcastle. That's how freaky we are.
I am almost certainly not going to have a player in this game, but I'm actually pretty excited about this game. any scores on the table in this game, right? Like 3-3 would not surprise me. Nil-nil would actually surprise me.
Yeah.
Other than that, 1-0, 2-2, I think there'll be goals.
They are two very strange teams. Like I was saying about Bournemouth playing Southampton this past game week, if the second half Bournemouth team shows up, they will fare pretty well against Newcastle, I think.
Yep.
And you have to hope that Eddie Howe will get a little bit of joy here. He seems like such a cute little guy. He needs a little happiness.
It's a very tough run for Bournemouth. It's a dark time. I think the international break had helped them a little bit. Yeah. I think that I know they're still nursing a lot of injuries, and sometimes you just need that international break to reset. You know, because they've really only been terrible since the last international break.
I mean,
they weren't so bad before then.
So it seems clear to me that the only players worth having in this fixture would be Newcastle attacking players. Wijnaldum, Mitrovic, and if you're a crazy person like Josh, maybe Ayoze Perez.
Yeah, but there are probably other places to spend your $5 million. I guess some people probably Wijnaldum is probably going to be the most owned player in this game.
Yeah.
I guess Trevor Francis, right? I mean, everybody. Francis probably has the highest ownership on that Bournemouth team, I would think. Let's see. He's at maybe it's just in the people that we see in our leagues, but his ownership is actually only 3.2%. Wait, did I see Trevor Francis? Is that the player I'm thinking of?
The Bournemouth defender?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is him. I was like, well, has he not played for a while? And it's
no, he's been letting in goals left and right.
Yeah, he has three straight zeros because they've conceded so many goals over the last few fixtures.
I had Francis in my initial team to start the season, and I would bet a lot of people that have Francis in their lineup are people that haven't played their wild card yet.
I bet Wilson is still the most owned player in this team.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. Yeah, by a bunch of ghost teams.
Yeah, 4.5%. Let's see, Matt Ritchie's five. So Matt Ritchie just nicks him. He's at 5.6% ownership.
All right, we've already spent too much time on this godforsaken game. What's next?
All right, yeah, but Football Factory, it's part of Legends Bar. It's on 33rd Street in Manhattan between 5th and 6th Avenue.
If you're going to be there, just hit us up on Twitter at Hell Cheaters and we'll find you.
Yeah, we'll be the nerdy guys probably at the bar or near it.
Yeah. At, on, near, around.
Behind the bar. We actually work there. This is a long con. We want people to come to the bar. All right. Okay, 10 o'clock fixtures. First one is Leicester-Watford.
Leicester City. Great. I will be starting Mahrez.
Are you thinking about captaining Vardy in this game?
Would
you think about it?
Yeah, I would definitely think about it. I think in the bonkers robot analysis that was done at transferhub.com earlier this week, mm-hmm. Jamie Vardy was picked as statistically the best choice for captain.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I don't know how you given what we've seen so far from him this year. I mean, he's averaging a goal a game right now.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I have questions because this Watford defense has so many plaudits and they could keep it tight, but I don't know. I frankly haven't watched, like I said earlier, I haven't watched enough Watford to know what sort of faith to put in how Leicester's going to perform.
They have shown the ability to have some defensive solidity at times this year, that's for sure. I I think I would definitely consider captaining Vardy. I mean, it's a tricky week for captaining, I think.
I'm feeling shy about that.
I think there's some tricky options. I mean, a lot of compelling options. It's kind of a tough one. So, yeah. All right.
This game is a stay of execution for Robert Huth, though, I will say, because I'm just sick and tired of that guy's giant head.
I know. And now do I double down on my double Leicester defensive pairing? Yeah. I mean, would you rather have Schmeichel at home to Watford or Stokes or Jack Butland at home to Chelsea?
I think you got to go double or nothing on this one. That's what I would do.
I know. I just, you know, it's hard not to let the recent past influence my decision.
There is a line from the HBO show Band of Brothers where one guy he's really scared of getting hurt in battle, and another guy turns to him and says, "You just have to accept the fact that you're already dead." Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying to you, Josh. Double down on this Leicester defense and just go in accepting that fact.
Might have to happen. All right, Man United at home to West Brom. Man United coming off a 1-0 Champions League win. This game to me is so clearly a 1-0 game.
In favor of who? United?
Oh, for United, yeah. I think they'll score. I think West Brom will come out a little tighter after last week, and they will concede one goal. Probably given the way Man United's offensive players from a fantasy perspective, but it's been so crazy, so hard to predict anybody.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Mata had that like nice run for a while there, but now.
Yeah. And Martial is one of the few bandwagons that has not panned out this season.
Yeah, it's true. We keep expecting it to at some point, but I mean, I wouldn't bring in Martial this week, right? I mean, West Brom's defense is good enough
And there's lots of reminiscence about, there's lots of reminiscing online about Boaz Mayhill's performance last year at Old Trafford, where he had a penalty save and a clean sheet.
Yep. So. I like my, I mean, you could definitely argue for starting Mayhill this weekend. I think you could see a West Brom clean sheet. And even if you don't, I think he'll probably pick up 3 or 4 points anyways, just from saves.
Yeah, I agree with you, though. Easier to see a Manchester United clean sheet here.
Yeah.
And that's what I would invest in if I were looking to spend any money on this game.
Yeah, me too. If I didn't have moves to do elsewhere, I would definitely be bringing in... I'd try to bring in Chris Smalling if I could afford him. And if I couldn't afford him, I guess Mark... To go full circle, Rojo would be the player I'd bring in.
Yeah, Rojo is the good short-term bet, I think.
All right, so that brings us to Norwich-Swansea.
Oh, God have mercy.
God, I know.
The Swansea team was like the sexiest team in the entire league like 10 weeks ago.
Norwich, too. You know, the first few weeks they looked great. And, you know, Redmond was scoring a lot. And yeah. It just, you know, they looked like a team to invest in.
Yeah. So here's my dilemma. Of course,
we don't even have George R. Russell Martin anymore.
I would have started
this weekend.
So who's even going to play in the middle of that defense? And I'm already saying I'm going to play Mahrez in favor of Andre Ayew, but how could I not want Ayew playing against this really soft, depleted Norwich defense?
Yeah.
How do I make that call? Help me.
I mean, that is a tough one. This is what I'm talking about. This is why having the big five. I mean, it actually has worked out well for you so far, so you can't complain too much.
No, I can't. I don't want to give that impression. I'm thinking maybe I bench Sanchez or Ozil.
I think you could make an argument for benching Ozil over Ayew this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexis is too dangerous because you just never know.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, he's too explosive. But I think I would maybe play Ayew over Ozil. That'd be an interesting one. I think that's maybe what I would do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it's going to – it's, you know.
It's not going to tip the scales.
It's not going to tip the scales, probably.
Presumably. Knock on wood.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. So, you know, this game I would expect Swansea to win maybe like 2-0 or 2-1. It really depends on whether my beloved Dio Mercy Mobakani is.
Yeah, what's the latest with Mobakani? Is he playing? Is he not playing?
I think he's still it's looking like he's got the 50-50, not just the light yellow. He's got the orange. So
this is an all-time low for the Mobakani fan group.
No, Mobakani's fine. He's got 2 goals. He's going to score 30 or 40 more. I feel pretty good about Mobakani.
That's incredible. Yeah, all investment in Swansea here.
Yeah, 2-0 Swansea is my prediction.
Yeah, what's
all right. Next? Sunderland, Southampton.
I would feel better. Weirdly, I feel weird saying this, captaining Pele away from home, where he doesn't have the best form.
Yeah,
but he's such a rich vein in form, and this Sunderland defense is crap.
So Mane is the player that I'm considering bringing in, and if I bring him in, I'd actually consider captaining him.
Yeah.
I know he didn't score at home to Bournemouth. It certainly looked like he should have scored a couple of times.
Very active.
Yeah. So he's the one. So I'm looking at Mane or possibly Coutinho is the other one I'm thinking about now too.
Interesting. I like it.
Yeah, just because he's a bit of a, you know, it's this, we talk about differentials, and it's almost like two tiers of differentials. There's like overall differentials, and there's differentials in all of the mini leagues that we're in. And Coutinho is not well owned in those mini leagues, despite having about 15% ownership overall.
Yeah.
So he's someone I'd think about. The only problem is that Man City fixture in game week 13 is so rough that it's like, you know, you know you're not going to get anything from him in that fixture. So
he scored against City last year.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I think it'd be a little points chasey really to bring in Coutinho anyways. Not to get too off.
Yeah.
Off traffic here.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, nobody's purchasing anything in Sunderland right now. Who is the guy on their defense that you want everyone to buy?
Billy Jones. all right, so I think Southampton will probably like a 3-0 Southampton is my prediction.
Okay.
Now, if you recall, we watched Southampton Sunderland last year in New Orleans.
Yeah, I do recall. We were at a wedding.
This random bar.
Yeah, we were at a wedding down in New Orleans, and we said to the ladies, oh, we have to go run a quick errand. Or actually, I think they had to run an errand, and we're like, fine. So managed to find a bar playing.
Close. It was amazing. Yeah. And good popcorn, too. All right. So, yes, 3-0 Southampton is my prediction. And in fact, yeah, not to get too, you know, down this road, but that game was amazing to remember because Jose Font like did everything he could to get a red card in that game. There were like multiple handballs, penalties. Like that's when we learned that referees will never call a penalty on Jose Font.
And that was the game where the long forgotten El Hierro Elia had a pretty good performance. He put together like a 3-game run of form for Southampton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never 2 goals in that game, right? That's right. And everybody jumped on the bandwagon because I think he was 5.5 million.
Yeah. Let's see. Is he on loan now or is it Feyenoord?
Actually, he was on loan at Southampton.
Fair enough. The Komen connection.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, enough about this game.
What's the game? And actually, now that I look back, that game was actually Newcastle that we watched. it was Southampton, Newcastle. Well, whatever. It was up in the Tyne Wear area.
Yeah, it's all interchangeable for us.
Yeah. We're ugly Americans, you know. It's all the same.
Sure.
Okay, so that brings us to West Ham Everton. Very excited about this game. This is the 10 o'clock game that I am far and away the most excited for.
This will be the always cheating official pure watch of game week 12.
Well, not really. Well, a pure watch, but also a watch with lots of fantasy implications. Yes. I have Payet. You don't have Payet. We both have
Lukaku.
We both have Lukaku. I guess I would at least consider bringing in Barclay as my replacement midfielder, another option. So
yeah, again, I love how you say Ross Barclay, like he owns the Barclay Premier League.
he's the heir to the Barclays fortune.
That's incredible. Yeah, so I guess you have everything to gain here if old Dimitri shows up.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got everything to lose.
I do. Yeah. God, so come down to the football factory because it could get weird.
I'm predicting a 2-2 draw in this game.
Okay, so who's going to score? That's what I want to know.
Let's say a goal from Payet, a goal from Lukaku, an own goal from
John Stones,
and an own goal from James Collins.
Well, James Collins won't be playing because he's on a red card.
Ah, but it's going to get overturned in the middle of the week, and he's going to be able to come on and play.
This is like an episode of Murder, She Wrote. All the twists and turns. I like it. This is a pure watch even before kickoff. Huh? This is great. Okay, I'll go with it. That sounds like a good prediction to me.
All right, then we got the afternoon fixture, which is Stoke-Chelsea. A game that I am not expecting to have a player in, but I may decide to just bring in Jack Butland because screw it, I just can't trust that Leicester defense.
Well, you won't be bringing him. You'll be bringing him in.
I'll be starting him. That is.
Yeah. Now we danced around it. We haven't really danced around it. We haven't come anywhere close to talking about why in the hell you still have Eden Hazard in your midfield.
Yeah, just a series of terrible. I really don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Yes, exactly. So let it be said that the watch is on for who Hazard will be turned into come Saturday morning.
Hazard has played his last week in my team. Even if one of my midfielders dies at midweek, I will burn 4 points to bring Hazard out. I cannot spend another week with him. I don't even care if he scores a hat trick this weekend. I do not care. He has to go.
sound more and more like Jose Mourinho every week, I swear.
Eventually this Chelsea team is going to turn around, and when it does, this weird Dorian Gray thing that seems to be going on right now, where it's not even Dorian Gray, it's like a Dorian Gray in reverse. Like, my team is bad, and I'm just mirroring them. There's no Dorian.
Yeah.
So eventually Chelsea will turn it around and show their championship form, as will Josh Landon. And
that
then
will be crazy if you dump Hazard and suddenly Chelsea become world beaters. I will be stunned.
Yeah, if I I score 110 points this weekend and Chelsea win 5-0.
So is Chelsea going to win this game? I feel like they.
I feel like 11 really weeks predict. Into the season, I still don't know what Stoke is. I don't know how good they are. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to finish. Don't know. They're not going to get relegated, and they're probably not going to get any of the Europe spots.
No.
It feels like they're integrating a lot of players right now, and I would think they'd be better next year.
Yeah.
I feel like they're playing a longer game right now. I mean, obviously it could backfire if some of their washed up Euros end up playing so well that they want to go elsewhere. But
the Bojans and Shaqiris of the world.
But if that happens, they'll also play better, and they'll have more points, and it'll be an easier to bring in players in the offseason. So I think they're in a win. I feel like it's a pretty good time to be a Stoke fan, actually. I think the team is interesting to watch. Jack Butland is the real deal, obviously.
Shit, man. That guy's having an amazing season.
And it's like they've got all these kind of low risk, high reward players right now. And assuming even a couple of them pan out, and you'd think Shaqiri long term is going to, it's a fun time to be a fan of them. So all that said, I actually think they're probably going to lose this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to predict a 2-1 result here Chelsea. In favor of Chelsea.
Yeah, like the way Chelsea's been doing all year, which is like a random goal from Kurt Zouma and like a Ramirez goal with a John Obi Mikel assist or something like that. That's how they're going to do it.
Moving on to Sunday.
Yep, Aston Villa, Man City.
I'm already missing all of our friends that we made at the Football Factory.
New day. Man City is just on a roll right now. They looked great in midweek. They're scoring tons of goals, even without Aguero, which... it is interesting, right? How many goals are scoring without Aguero?
It's true. Even though they sort of were a dud against Norwich over the weekend.
Bit of a dud, but they still pulled it out. It should have been 3-1 if Wilfred Bony had taken that penalty. I expect them to keep rolling, especially an Aston Villa team that doesn't look at any better with Remy Gard, although I'm sure they will be long-term. It seems like he commands a lot of respect, right? I feel like I've heard a lot of very complimentary things about Gard.
Well, just the shots of him in the stands at White Hart Lane, he cut a very commanding sort of figure. It was just like the grim look that he was wearing because Villa was getting torn apart.
Right. So I think, eventually... maybe they'll be a little stronger, but they're in 20th place right now. They're actually two. Even Sunderland has two more points than Aston Villa right now. I'm still shocked that it's going this badly. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be because when you look at that team, it's not very impressive. Jordan Ayew almost had a brace in that game. I don't know if you saw. He had a goal that kind of a long-range Coutinho-style strike that just missed. Yeah, I think Man City win like 3-1 or 4-1.
There is a temptation to captain De Bruyne again, yeah, but De Bruyne is on – he's on this like Cesc Fabregas run of Chelsea last season where he's a must-have player, but he's
getting one assist a game.
Piddly results. We're hoping for double figures from him already.
And I sort of have decided that I don't want to bring in De Bruyne just because I am doing a little differential chasing, and I just think that Mane offers pretty much the same returns, but maybe a little bit better and almost $3 million cheaper. So that's money I could spend elsewhere. And you know, I don't know. It's a punt.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us to the North London Derby.
Oh my goodness.
Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of these teams are in great form right now. Arsenal probably in slightly better form, given that Harry Kane, I mean, he had a classic FPL destroyer goal.
We were disgusted with that goal.
Just like came like more or less the last kick of the game. He really hadn't done anything to deserve a goal. I mean, not to say Harry Kane doesn't work his ass off, but...
But vultured a goal and two bonus points at the very end of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
A ton of people captained him. Yeah. So annoying.
So you do have to favor all your Arsenal assets in this game. Everyone with Spurs defenders probably going to be a little sheepish.
Yeah, I think like a 2-0 Arsenal is what I would predict in this game. Maybe a Drew goal and a, I don't know, another Koscielny goal. 3-3 from Koscielny.
Yeah, we talked about the Walcott-Giroud issue and how you can't have either of them last week, but now Walcott's injured. Giroud becomes that much more appealing.
Yeah, there are more options than you can handle on the forward line right now.
It's like looking at Klopp Republic FC's team.
Well, it's a good thing to keep in mind because it's hardened to get frustrated when you see all these players scoring, but everyone's scoring. You know, I mean, it's hard not to have forwards that are scoring right now.
Yeah.
You're across the board, you know, yeah. 5 million, 8 million. Really, it's only the expensive ones that aren't scoring.
Yeah.
It's in Diego Costa and I guess Aguero now that he's out. So anyway.
I'm actually going to say 3-1 to Arsenal. I can see Spurs nicking a goal at the end of the first half just to make things interesting.
Okay, I like that. And Liverpool, Crystal Palace, final fixture of the game week. I would expect a Liverpool win. I like what I've seen so far. Crystal Palace, I could see them nicking a goal, but I do think that Liverpool will win this game. Like maybe another 2-1 scoreline.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'd love just for the Klopp fans out there to see another win and to see this sort of pick up steam, so we can actually see our fantasy Liverpool prospects start to take more shape.
Yep, I agree, and certainly Benteke, I think, would be a. Worth taking a punt on as a differential forward this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, would you want a clean sheet from Liverpool here? I mean, would you expect one?
Well, I don't expect one. I will be starting Skrtel, obviously, but I don't feel great about it. I just think there are too many dangerous players on Crystal Palace. Who could just get behind the defense and cause some trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm due for a Nathaniel Klein goal. I mean, he saved his goal for the Capital One Cup, which, good for you, Nathaniel Klein. But I'd love to see something attacking from Klein in this game.
Yeah, I agree. All right, B. Well, that wraps it up.
Yeah, another epic Always Cheating podcast. I hope you guys loved it. We're loving all the banter with you guys on Twitter, so keep hitting us up at Hail Cheaters on Twitter. And a lot of you are utilizing the email function on our website at alwayscheating.com. So, any words of wisdom as we sign off here, Josh?
Two words, Brandon. Hail Poku.
Hail Poku. Poku forever. Yeah, remember to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, Brandon. Talk to you soon.
Bye.